Good evening, everyone. We're going to split this title up into three parts. The Gospel, Preach to Abraham, and You. So we are going to be looking very much in three parts. We're going to try and define what the Gospel is to start with, and then we'll move on to look at Abraham and the relevance for ourselves. So when we talk about the Gospel, how do we define the Gospel? I mean, we could probably think of lots of different things. We could think about the aspects of the teachings of Jesus, and we could think about the message it brings and the way it can change people's lives. When we actually think about the Gospel and try and define it, I think there's two strands that we can probably pick up, which will then bring all sorts of topics and teachings from that. Now, the first one is around the kingdom of God. For example, Jesus went about teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So the kingdom of God being the time when Christ returns to set up God's kingdom on the earth. And just to make that point clear, you can see in Mark 1, same thing, but also in Luke 8, the glad tidings, the gospel. It's the same word, the glad tidings, the gospel, the good news. So we can start by saying, well, the gospel is something to do with the kingdom of God. It's that time when Christ returns and a kingdom of righteousness is established. The other sort of strand that we could probably take is that of Jesus Christ himself, because when we think about the kingdom, there's a lot that comes from that in terms of teachings. You might be able to think, okay, from the kingdom we can think about the resurrection, we can think about judgment, we can think about immortality, all of these teachings. And then when you think about Jesus Christ, you can look again at the sacrifice and baptism and at sin and his nature and how he overcame these things. Lots of topics then come from these sort of two main headlines, if we like. So Jesus Christ, let's just prove that the gospel is about Jesus Christ. There we go, three verses on the screen that make it clear that the gospel is about Jesus Christ as well. Now, when we baptize people, we often say something along the lines of, so-and-so, do you believe the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, that's a very valid statement and question to ask, because when we come to think about the gospel, especially in the preaching of the apostles, the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ come together. There's two verses there in the Acts, one about Philip, one about Paul, but both of them went around preaching the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. They're two important aspects that come together and which offer a hope of life eternal to those who will believe. Now, I appreciate that's very much a very top line, very sort of face value level to the gospel. Perhaps I'm almost making it too easy, but we know it is a simple message to understand. But we won't go into all the sort of other matters of belief and other topics that one ought to understand. But fundamentally speaking, Jesus Christ and God and his kingdom are most of paramount importance to the gospel message. Now, when we think about Abraham, I remember my granddad in Sunday school telling me time and time again these Abrahamic and Davidic promises. I thought, what are you on about, granddad? Didn't have a clue. Abrahamic, but he was making a really good point that Abraham was such an important character, such an important man who had some great promises made to him. Now, when we think about the gospel and Abraham, perhaps we might at first think, well, that's an odd sort of connection. The gospel is New Testament, Abraham's Old Testament. We know, don't we, very well, that it all goes hand in hand. But let's just make that point very clear, that Abraham understood the gospel. This is the title for our talk. The gospel was preached to Abraham. In Galatians 3, it's very clear that Abraham had the gospel of Jesus and the kingdom preached to him. And Galatians 3 quotes that in you, Abraham, all nations, all people will find blessings. Now, let's try and link this together. So we're going to be saying the gospel is about the kingdom, the gospel is about Jesus Christ, and Abraham understood the gospel. But let's see this in action. That quote is Genesis 12, in you shall all nations be blessed. So let's turn to Genesis 12, if we're still there from our reading. And we will start to just pick out a few key words regarding Abraham, who was called the friend of God. He was a faithful man. He had many promises made to him. And see what his importance is in relation to the gospel. So Genesis 12 and verses 1 to 7, we will paraphrase a few points for time, but we see in verse 1 that the Lord said to Abraham, get you out of your country and go to a land that I will show you. So Abraham, you're dwelling in the Ur of the Chaldees, this place. Get out, leave everything you've got, and I'll show you where to go. In fact, verse 2, I'll make of you a great nation, I'll bless you and make your name great. Now, Abraham, I'm going to provide great blessings. I'm going to exalt your name. I'm going to make you and all nations blessed and great. Verse 3, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses you. And here we go. This is a quote we had from Galatians 3. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Or in you shall all nations be blessed. You know, Abraham, I'm not going to just be faithful to you. I'm not just going to bless you. I'm going to bless those who come from you. I'm going to bless all nations. I'm going to put a great offer on the table of blessing. And we're going to look at these blessings in a bit. So Abraham went out, did as he was told. And we see in verse 6 that Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. The Canaanite was there in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, This land in the place of Shechem, which we'll identify in a minute, this land that I show you, you and your seed, I will give this land to. And Abraham builded an altar to God. So Abraham gets out of his homeland, what he knows. He goes away as God has told him. And he goes to this place in Shechem, which is the land of Canaan. And he's told by God, what you see, this land in Shechem of Canaan, I'll give it to you. Now, I've highlighted two words on the screen, or three phrases, two words, land and seed. You'll see why in a second, but we're going to just pick up these two words, land and seed, and we're going to follow them through. We're going to see what God has to say to Abraham about the land of Canaan. And we're going to see what God has to say to Abraham about this seed, this offspring, this future descendant, generation. And see what God has to say to Abraham and then to us. Right, so let's think about the land to start with. Abraham's told to get out from where he lives. He goes to the land of Canaan. And there he is promised. He said, I'll give you this land. Not a bad offer, perhaps, some might think, being told you can have all this land. It's pretty pricey at times. However, let's try and get down to where this land is and what it all means. But first, just to prove that the land is of most importance, that these promises all surrounded the land. There's evidence. You won't read them all, but you can see chapter 13, 15 and 17, Abraham is told time and time again by God, I will give you a land. This land of Canaan, you will have it, both you and your seed. We'll look at the seed in a second, but you will have this land. Where is this land of Canaan? This land that Abraham has promised? Let's do some biblical research and try and sort of identify what this actually means. Because I could talk to anyone and say Abraham's been given the land, but if I don't really say where it is, it might not be of any sort of relevance and meaning. So, in Genesis 15 and verse 18, Abraham was told, I'll give you a land. And it's actually defined, it's given boundaries. From the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. Now, there's a map, a bit blurry, I appreciate, perhaps. Right, so the land that Abraham is promised runs from Egypt, which we have on the left-hand side, unto the great river Euphrates, which you can see is the black line up here. So at first glance, we could roughly say, well, it's going to be somewhere in this sort of boundary, this sort of sector. And that's just from one verse only. You can see, quite importantly, that Israel is identified in the purple, but just using our biblical evidence there, we can say it's going to be roughly in that sort of area, which is helpful. It rules out most of the world. We can start to be more specific, because in Genesis 12, that we read just a second ago, when Abraham got out and went to the land of Canaan, which, bear in mind, we can easily prove Canaan just using non-biblical sources, but nevertheless, when he came to this land, it was in the place of, as the Authorized Version says, Sichem, but as was read and often is rightly translated, Shechem. Now, we could look throughout the scriptures and find that Shechem was a Hebrew city, a city of Israel. And just to make the point that the land of Canaan, was an area between Egypt and Euphrates, and to make the point that it was definitely talking about what we now know as Israel and surrounding areas, in Acts chapter 7, there's a man called Stephen who is giving a speech to the Jewish rulers, and he says to them, I'm going to tell you about Abraham and explain the importance of Abraham, just as I'm doing now. And he says to the rulers at that time, and to those of importance, he says, Abraham was told to get out of his land, just as we've thought about for a while. And Abraham went to the land where you now dwell. This has all been spoken in and around Jerusalem. And so if Abraham is able to say to the Jewish rulers, the land that Abraham went to was your very land, that of Israel, then we can be very happy, using our Bibles, that Abraham was promised a land that was between Egypt and the Euphrates, which definitely included the land of Israel. We know it's of great political interest, always has been, and will be for a long time until Christ does return. But there's just some sort of foundation stuff, and maybe it might not be of any importance to us when we first look at that. We can think, great, God's promised to Abraham we'll be able to have this land of Israel. But we've got a slight issue when we look at Acts 7 again with Stephen, because Stephen in the New Testament explains that Abraham didn't actually get his inheritance. He didn't actually receive the land in his life. And we can see in Hebrews 11 the same thing again. Abraham was promised the land. He died in faith, but he didn't receive the promises. Now we have a God who is meant to keep his promises, who is never meant to fail or slack. And yet he told Abraham, I'll let you have this land of Israel. But when we read in the New Testament about Abraham, we find out that he was never giving it. He didn't get his promise. Now we know that obviously the reason for this, given that God is a God who keeps promises, given that God is a God who does not fail, this will have to take place and sometime in the future. That being the time when Christ returns, the kingdom is established, and then yes, the promises can be received. And we'll look at that a little bit later on. So just to say, well, where are we at the moment? Abraham was preached the gospel of the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. Abraham was promised a land of Israel and surrounding areas. Abraham did not get that land in his life. Let's just stop there for now, and we'll pick that idea up in a bit about the land and Abraham. Let's think a bit now about the other part of the promises that Abraham was given. That being a seed, as the authorised version has it. Other versions might use offspring. It's basically talking about a future generation, a future heir. Abraham was promised a seed. Again, there's some verses on the screen just to prove it. Genesis 12, unto your seed will I give this land. Genesis 13, the land that you see, I will give to your seed. Genesis 22, I will bless you. I will multiply your seed. Your seed will possess the gate of his enemies. Your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So, again, I think it's very clear to see that the fact that Abraham was promised an offspring, a future heir, is again of most importance, just like the land that Abraham was promised. Now, those three verses on the screen, Genesis 12, verse 7, Genesis 13, verse 15, Genesis 22, verses 17 and 18, help us identify three parts of this seed. The seed, the offspring, would receive the land. Look at Genesis 13, verse 15. This land, which we've seen that Abraham was promised, would also be given to his offspring, his seed. His seed, his descendants, would also, in Genesis 22, verses 17 and 18, be multiplied. They would grow, they would increase. It wouldn't be just one child, one offspring, one future generation. It would be many generations, many descendants. And the third point to make is that it was going to be through this seed that Abraham was promised, through this seed, there will be blessings. What we read in Galatians 3 earlier, that Abraham had the gospel preached unto him, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Well, here we have it in Genesis 22. Your seed will help to provide blessings. Now, what we're going to do is go through each of those points. We're going to look at how the seed would receive the land. We're going to look at how a seed would be multiplied. We're going to look at how a seed would provide blessings. And this is where we can start to bring ourselves into it in due time. We see that these promises, this gospel that Abraham was preached, was not just a dead Old Testament gospel, but it's a living gospel that goes right through to the New Testament. But first, let's just think, who is this seed? I mean, we've looked at the land and we've identified the area that encompassed, and we've used some biblical verses to prove that. But where's this seed? Who is this seed? Now, we could, at first reading, using Genesis 21 and verse 12, say that Isaac was the seed. Abraham was desperate for a child. Him and his wife, Sarah, struggled for a child. And Isaac was a child of promise that they were given. But when we look at Genesis 21, we actually see that it was not going to be Isaac who is this ultimate promised seed. In fact, in Isaac, i.e. through Isaac's generation, through his lineage, your seed will be called. So this promise, this gospel that Abraham has preached, has greater meaning than his firstborn of Isaac, his child, Isaac. It's talking about a far greater future picture, a future heir. And if we look at Galatians 3 and verse 16, it might be worth perhaps keeping a hand in Galatians 3, because we're going to use that in a second. But Galatians 3 and verse 16 says that the seed that the promises were made to is Christ. So it's so clear for us to see there from Galatians 3 verse 16 that this seed, that the offspring, the future generation that Abraham was preached, is Jesus Christ. Hopefully we're starting to see where we're going here. The gospel of the kingdom of God And Jesus Christ was preached to Abraham. He was promised that Jesus Christ would come from his own seed, his own lineage, his own heirs. And Matthew 1 always makes this point so clear. If there's any doubt that Abraham, his line, his generation brought about Jesus, it's very clear in Matthew 1 that Abraham begat Isaac, and lots and lots and lots and lots of names are listed until we get to the end, that we find out that Jesus was born from the line of Abraham. So let's just go back to those three things that we looked at earlier. We saw that Abraham was promised a seed. We've seen that that is Jesus. And we saw that there was going to be a receiving of the land for the seed. We saw that there was going to be a multiplication, a growing of this seed. And we saw that there was going to be blessings through this seed. So just for a second, let's think about Jesus. Let's think about his three things. And let's find out what this has in store for us. Let's start with provide blessings. I think when we actually understand how God, what God meant by through your seed, all nations will be blessed. I think when we look at the blessings that come through Jesus, from Abraham, from the promises, from the gospel, through Jesus, I think it's very uplifting, encouraging, and is relevant for you and I. Because this is where it's great. Galatians 3 and Genesis go great together. We saw that the blessing of Abraham would be given through the seed. And look at that in Galatians 3. The blessing of Abraham comes through Jesus Christ. So there we have it. There's no doubt that this seed is Jesus Christ. The seed that will provide blessings is Jesus Christ. How does Jesus Christ bless? How does he provide blessings? Acts 3. Again, we're in Acts. I mean, Acts 3, Acts 7, when Stephen's involved, and Galatians 3, when Paul's writing. All of these chapters are key chapters to understanding the gospel message in Abraham. So, how does Jesus Christ bless people? So, it's quoting the promises to Abraham in Acts 3, verse 25. In your seed will all kindreds, all nations, all families of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. How? In turning away every one of you from your iniquities, his iniquities. The blessing of Abraham comes through Jesus Christ by forgiveness. That is the promise made to Abraham. That gospel message talks about Jesus Christ being sent to bless you and I by forgiving us. And that's the whole point of the gospel. It's about changing lives. It's about transforming our way of thinking, our way of living, by forgiving our past lives and providing a future where our sins can be removed. How, though, how can we find forgiveness? How can this blessing be relevant? This is where the idea of the seed growing and the seed being multiplied is quite useful. Because in Galatians 3, we find out in the latter parts of the chapter, in Galatians 3 and verse 26, it says that you, this is talking to believers, to the brothers and sisters at Galatia, you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So you've shown faith in Jesus and you're God's children. And as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So it's talking about baptism. You've been baptized into Jesus. You've believed. You've been baptized into Jesus. And you found forgiveness. Without going into it in too much detail, baptism washes away sins. The blessing of forgiveness washes, it is found in the washing away of sin through baptism. And if you're baptized, look at verse 29. If you are baptized and become Christ's and put on Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is how a seed grows. This is the promise that was given. The seed will be multiplied. How? The blessing of Abraham, forgiveness, comes upon people when they accept Jesus and they are baptized into him, having believed in what they have understood and learnt. And by doing so, the gospel that was preached to Abraham becomes theirs. These promises become theirs. This promise of forgiveness, this promise of Jesus. And don't forget the land, because that's going to be important in a second. There's a promise of a land. But we have to make it clear that we can't just say, I want to get baptized and find forgiveness and live a great life, without actually doing something in your heart. Faith is so important. You see there in Galatians 3, verse 7 and 9. You're only the children of Abraham. You're only that seed. You're only that promise if you have faith. And we see also in verse 26 that we just read, you're only God's children if you have faith. There has to be a belief in this gospel. There has to be a firm belief so that one can then say, I want to wash away my sins. I want to obtain forgiveness. I want to become Abraham's seed. I want to become Christ's. I want to become a child of God. So, the gospel was preached to Abraham. Jesus was the fulfillment of that seed, but we've seen that that seed would grow by a blessing of forgiveness in baptism. How then does this all relate to the land? Let's bring the land back into this now. Where did we finish with the land? Well, we said that the land was an area encompassing Israel, and that Abraham never got that land, that promise, in his life. But what we didn't really look at earlier in Acts 7, verse 5, was that God promised that he would still give this land, this area encompassing Israel, he would still give it to Abraham and to his seed forever. Now, if you and I are Abraham's seed because we have chosen to be baptized and have chosen to obtain that blessing of forgiveness by faith and God's grace, then this is relevant to you and I. Abraham will receive the land for a possession and his seed as well. Abraham's dead. How's this going to work? We can understand by reading the scriptures, without, again, going into it in too much detail, though it's another subject, that Christ will return. Christ will return and take those who are his. He will raise the dead. That being Abraham. And look at this in Luke 13. This was spoken to those who did not believe in Jesus. And Jesus told people around him who did not believe, that when you see Abraham in the kingdom of God, you will weep, you will wail, you will gnash your teeth when you see Abraham in the kingdom of God, and not yourselves. Jesus will return to establish God's kingdom of peace upon this earth. And that is the time when Abraham and the seed, that promised multiplied seed encompassing all who believe and are baptized, they will receive the promise of God's kingdom, the land, and Christ will reign from Jerusalem. The gospel is the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. It was preached to Abraham. Abraham was promised the land. When will he receive that? In God's kingdom. He was promised Jesus Christ. So he was promised the seed, which we know is Jesus Christ. However, what hopefully we've also seen is that the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ was more than just being preached to one man. It's preached to all of us. If we choose to follow Christ, to have faith in his teachings, accept the blessing of forgiveness, and await God's kingdom in faith.